Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at Action247.com.
Two players get there. Toss the ball in the air. Jackson wins the tip. Here come the Grizz down two. Morant downhill at Conley to the bucket. Jumps it out. Jackson, three for the lead. Great job. Put three on the board. Oh, what a drive and kick. And the Grizz are up by one. 119-118. What a turn of events in Salt Lake City.
Jaren gets the tip, and he gets the three to put his team ahead. What a bounce-back performance by Jaren Jackson Jr. He stuck with it. Great shot. Now you got to play defense right here.
Unbelievable tap by Jackson. Morant the push. Conley sags in. Jackson with a monster left wing three. Oh, my. Timeout, Utah. Ingles will inbound across the court from us. Jazz going left to right on the radio dial. Ingles has Mitchell to the deep left wing. Conley's across the floor, deep right wing. Gobert, right elbow. Left block, Bogdanovich. Clark, Bain, Williams, Jackson, and Morant. Grizzlies do not have a foul to give. Bogdanovich breaks across the floor. Nowhere to go. Ingles looking. Gets it in Mitchell. Mitchell with three, two. Mitchell at Bain. Fadeaway on the way. No good. It's over. The Grizzlies with a massive win on the road in Salt Lake City.
Jason and John Guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN, with special guest host J.R. Moore from Ingram Hill. They try to take my floor, I take their
ransom. I know that I'm gone. Welcome back to the show. It's that Eric Hasseltine voice crack on Ring It Up and Put Three on the Board. That gets me.
Yeah.
It's similar to when Elliot gets the visceral, like when you can't help yourself. It's not like Eric planned it that way, but that slight little voice, that little voice crack. Is like, makes it so authentic. Really gets me. Like, I want to run through a wall.
It's just what the doctor ordered after Saturday night.
Yes, it is.
Because yesterday when we came in here, it was like a totally different day.
There it was.
That is a nice comeback.
It sure was. All right. Well, as a Grizzlies fan, like any good fan does, you overreact to every little thing. And in an 82-game season, on game 17, it's perfect to overreact.
Yes.
And as we know, Jaren and paying him $100 million, and Jaren has his lovers, Jaren has his haters.
Yes, he does.
After the game last night, and Jaren hitting a massive three-pointer to give the Grizz a one-point lead and then a one-point win. What are your feelings? If you guys want to call in the show, say what you think about old Jaren and the Grizz these days and how you're feeling about those guys. Or if you want to talk Tigers, we can do that too. Or if you don't want to talk at all, I'll just say, good, I didn't want to talk to you anyway. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Didn't call in.
And I should have put this up there for you. The number is 535-3776.
What's the telephone number?
Yeah, I just put it on the board.
535-3776.
Use ESPN, 535-ESPN.
ESPN. Give us a shout. We'll talk some Grizz or Tigers. I just saw, I think I saw this last night, but I forgot. Be thankful this Thanksgiving season that you have a job.
It's firing season,
but
too.
Luke Walton is out in Sacramento.
Yeah,
he got fired.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett out immediately.
They just
is
fired
the offensive
him. Yeah.
Coordinator. Like, that came across, like, what, 30 minutes ago?
Yeah, they said Joe Judge apparently was so pissed after the game, and you saw it after the game in his post-game press conference. He's like, he just went and fired
Garrett.
Jason Garrett's gone.
Oh, man. Didn't they have, like, a play that – I think they had, like, a fun play that they – That they had last night, where Jason Garrett smiling on the sideline like we had a trick play and it worked, and then suddenly they it didn't work out, and so everybody's getting fired. Dan Mullen, all the college coaches, Luke Walton's getting fired. Just be thankful this Thanksgiving season when you thank everybody, or when you thank the baby Jesus and for your Thanksgiving meal, and a turkey that you're probably not going to eat. It's just going to go to waste. We got a caller?
We'll go to line one.
We got Mike on line one. What's up, Mike?
What's up, man? Enjoying the show. Enjoying the weather.
Yes, sir. Isn't it nice when it's sunny outside, even when it's cold and it's still sunny? It's nice, isn't it, right?
It's beautiful with the leaves falling. It's beautiful.
Yes, I'm 100% with you.
I want to know some experts' opinion. Look, let me ask you, what is the real expectation for the Tigers? I'm thinking Sweet 16 is like max level awesome possible. What are real expectations? Now, I'm not thinking Elite Eight Final Four. I'm not thinking that. So what do you think the real expectations are?
I think the realistic thing is if you're – obviously, we want Elite Eight Final Four. That's like – that is like best-case scenario icing on the cake. I think realistic expectation is the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Yes – like Penny kind of tempered those expectations by saying we need to make the NCAA tournament because we haven't done that yet. And I agree with him. He's right. They do need to. But I kind of feel like with this roster and this team, if they just make the tournament and then lose in the first weekend and don't get out of the first weekend, I kind of feel like people will still be disappointed because this roster is so elite and so much better than anything we've seen here in such a long time that I think the expectation, reasonable, is the second weekend, is Sweet 16. I'm with it, and I think I will be, I don't want to say disappointed, but I will maybe slightly disappointed if they don't make a Sweet 16. What are your expectations? Do you think Sweet 16 is great?
I'm thinking realistically. I'm thinking like you. I'm thinking second round of the tournament. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at Penny, honestly. But man, he's not been coaching on this level. I think that he's done a great job this year bringing in some experienced people, with like Larry Brown to help him out. But my thing is though, how much is it? Do you guys see any change in his coaching since Larry Brown been there? I'm like, do y'all see like okay, I can see Penny might get there from Larry. Do y'all see any changes so far? Because so far, what I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of changes in Penny coaching style. It's like, to me, they be everywhere. And right now, we just getting by with talent. So yep. I'm real interested to see what's going to happen Wednesday. Emma will see a team that comes out, you know, to establish an offensive presence where – It's like we just everywhere. It's like we're everywhere.
I'm with you. I thought Larry Brown would immediately help the turnover problem is what I assumed. And it doesn't seem as much.
He has not solved that. Or the rotation.
That rotation, that's – I don't know how much he's in Penny's ear about that.
Yeah.
But he's got a – I feel like Larry Brown would help the kind of – where they look lost on offense. I thought Larry Brown would definitely help that. And I thought Larry Brown would help the turnover problem. And it's still early. We're four games in, so maybe he does eventually help this. And I feel like if there's ever a moment where they get in trouble, it's great to have a guy like Larry Brown on your bench who can help you make adjustments. All right, thank you, Mike. Going to line number two, that is Tony. Tony's downtown. What's up, Tony?
What's going on, guys? You know what? Now, you guys talk about the offense. I'm not mistaken. It's like one of the best offenses in the country. They're shooting at a very high percentage. The problem they got is they don't have a point guard, and they're turning the ball over. So when you got that issue, you're going to have some turnover issues. But you can clearly see they turn teams over just as much as they turn it over. So they're getting a lot of opportunities at the hole.
I mean, you're right that they turn teams over as much as they turn it over. The problem is that when they start playing better quality teams, they are not going to be able to turn them over like that. And they are turning the ball over against crappy teams.
They were number one in the nation last year. And I think they were in the top five in the nation last two. And defensive efficiency. So I think they will turn teams over. The problem is, I agree with you. You got to fix the turnover problem. But when you're turning teams over and you rebounding the ball, you can play with it a little bit. They need to get it down to about maybe 16, 17 turnovers a game. I think that's doable. In a game like this, your team know who they playing. And sometimes teams be just a little jacked. You had a money base, had a bad night the other night. And like I said, you got to get Jalen Durham into the game a little bit more. Now, about the Grizzlies, I'm one of the ones that tweet Jeff or inbox Jeff a lot because I do think Jaren Jackson is garbage. I mean, he's a 50-50.
Oh boy.
He's a player. He's a player that you don't know what you're going to get from him each night. And I'm critical of them giving him $100,000. I mean, you would expect for him to be a little bit more. And when people were saying that he was scoring the ball and all this, the Grizzlies were losing. The player that has made a difference is two. It's been Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. And for people to really mutter that Dylan Brooks' name, he's a dog. Someday, Jaren is not a dog. As soon as he make a mistake, he got to raise his hand. He drops his head. He pops like a baby. And really and truly, players know how to punk him. And that's what happened. A lot of times he get punked and we get beat bad. This is a bad defensive team. And the next person, like I said, I will walk out of here. I mean, he got a high octane offense. But the defense from the Grizzlies suck.
You're right. Their defense is awful. And I'll tell you when the defense is worse is when Jaren is not on the floor. Part of the thing with Jaren, and I'm with you, you don't know what you're getting each night from him offensively, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
For your second-best player, you need consistency there. The good part to look at is that he's only 22, and 22-year-olds are often inconsistent. And so what you hope is that he gets better and better.
Yep.
And when getting better and better, he just becomes – you can count on him on a nightly basis. And we've been able to count on so far this year is that they suck defensively, and there's no doubt about it, they suck.
Yeah.
They don't suck as bad when he's on the floor defensively. Right. He does do other things well that are very helpful on a nightly basis that don't show up in a point scored stat line. And it's hard to notice that because we need him to score so badly. And so you think that, well, if he's not scoring, he's doing nothing for us. Well, that's not true. We just need him to do more as a big player.
Jeff pointed this out. They knew even when they gave him $100 million, I know that's a ridiculous amount of money, they knew he was still not a finished product.
Oh, not even close. He is definitely not a finished product, and he'll get better. I know he will. Yeah. Going to Jody in East Memphis.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Hey, man,
what's happening, bro?
I'm doing good. I got two things. The first of all, with the Grizzlies, keep on where y'all at. I think a lot of y'all, a lot of people, are expecting Jaren to be like a superstar or something. He ain't a superstar yet, you know. Like he's a legitimate starter, but like you know they gave him a lot of money because you know this Memphis, this is a small market, so you gotta overpay dudes to make mistakes. So y'all, everybody's rushing to be like, oh, Jaren, like he ain't a superstar.
Well,
he might be a superstar one day, I doubt it, but he a legitimate four or five, and you know he can do what he. You can't depend on him. He's not dealing. He can help you on some nights, and some nights he can hurt you.
Well, based on the marketplace, they did not overpay him. They actually kind of paid him right in the middle when he got. I mean, $100 million is an absurd amount of money to me.
That's but stupid, but that's what you're dealing with.
Other guys, roughly of his skill level, he kind of got a fair deal for both him and
injury
the Grizzlies.
Injury prone and all that.
And yes, people are expecting him to be a superstar. And what kind of skews that is how good out of the gates Ja was. And so you're going, well, Jaren was the third or fourth pick. Shouldn't he be that great out of the gates too? Well, not everybody developed the same level. And, you know, it feels like that he could have probably he's just going to take a little more time to develop and to be great. All right, our last caller here. Is this our last one?
Yeah, we'll do one more.
All right, one more. Trey.
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to give Jaren his props. To me, that was the best game I've seen Jaren play as a Grizzly. Not statistically, but from a basketball IQ standpoint. And shot wasn't falling. He decided, okay, I need to go down low, take Rudy Gobert down into the paint, which he did. And then when Gobert was like, okay, I'm going to body him, he played to mid-range. He brought him out mid-range, come off the dribble a little bit, put a spin move on him or a little floater, and then he worked his way back out to the three-point shot, and then it started falling. Like, that's what I want to see from Jaren, because he can score from anywhere. So if it's not working here, try somewhere else. Don't just force-feed it, you know. And last thing is, I know we've been trying to find a nickname for Ja Morant, but me and my friend, we call him the Remix. Whoever your favorite point guard is, he's the better version.
What is the nickname? Say it again.
We'll call him the Remix.
The Remix.
Whoever your favorite point guard is, he's the better version.
I like it, Trey.
There you go.
I like it. You're right. I think you're right about the Jaren thing is that he was I feel like sometimes he gets too locked in on being a three-point shooter.
Yeah.
And there was even a play late where he caught it at three-point line and went straight at Gobert, did a spin move.
Sure.
Gobert tried to flop, and they didn't call it.
Yeah.
He did a spin move and crammed one down. And you're like, that is the Jaren you need. Don't lock yourself into being a three-point shooter only. be aggressive. You can take dudes off the dribble, and it was awesome to see. Thank you guys for calling in. That was fun. I enjoyed hearing from everybody. When we come back, we're going to hear from the host of this show. His name is John Martin. You're listening to 92.9 FM.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ESPN. Welcome back to the Jason and John Show. I'm Jeremiah filling in for the fellas. On the show right now, we bring on the very host of this show. One handsome and talented Mr. John Martin. Hey, John, remember that time you were like, I'm going to go on vacation and take a week off. And then that tyrant of a boss, Brad, said, you will not. And now here you are. Thanks for joining us on the show.
I know, I can't pull you back on.
It doesn't feel like work when I'm talking to my buddy, JR.
There you go. You
know, what a way to put it.
Nice, thanks.
See, that's all you got to do.
You know, yeah, exactly. So what's up, man?
Oh, you know, just hanging out, talking into microphones to I'm trying to be you. I'm aspiring to be you is what I'm doing.
I'm aspiring to be you, brother. Mutual Admiration Club.
Do you know that like there was a time in our lives where I would see you out like at a bar, or I remember one time I saw you like late night at Huey's after a show I had, and we were all like laughing and partying and having a good time. And now pretty regularly I run into you in the middle of the day at Kroger and Target. We're just a bunch of sad dads.
What?
That is so true.
Hanging out at the grocery stores.
It is so true. The evolution of life, right?
The evolution of life.
It really is like that. Like, we had, like, a really long, good conversation in the middle of the, like, bread aisle, you know, at Kroger.
Really, dude. Just both looking tired.
Yeah.
It's 4 p.m.
Not complaining.
No.
But, you know, expressing how we feel, you know.
Really yeah. Having a good heart-to-heart in the middle of the, middle of the cereal aisle.
Yeah, like, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. So John, I don't know if you noticed, but there was a pretty good win for the Grizzlies last night in Utah. Jaren Jackson played like the Jaren Jackson we all want him to play like. What did you think about that whole ordeal last night?
Well, I mean, this is just sort of, you know, it's an embodiment really of what the Grizzlies typically do. You know, they can get destroyed by, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves and come out and they're going to be motivated against the team they saw in the playoffs last year in the Utah Jazz. And I do think a lot of that has to do with Ja. I think he sets the tone just sort of competitively. Like, they can go on the road and lose to the Clippers on a Saturday night, or excuse me, the Pelicans, and then come back against the Clippers the next game or two games from then, you know, and handle the Clippers. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but you know, it is an 82-game season, and you're going to have nights where you're just not there and you're not bringing it. But I think it is easier when you're playing teams like the Jazz, like the Clippers, teams that are just ostensibly in front of you, and you're going to bring it. You know, I was kind of surprised that the Grizzlies were, I think, going into that game an 11-point underdog. And I said, you know, I guess I get it because, you know, just the Utah Jazz are ridiculously good in the regular season, but you know, the Grizzlies are going to be motivated to, you know, to come out and compete. And not only did they compete, they won the game. So I really do. I mean, I know Jared is sort of getting all the attention today, but I do think that's just a tone that is set by John Morant every time
they're up against a team or a player that's perceived in front of them. This is typically how they perform.
What is that inconsistency to where they play down to their competition and up to their competition? And when they play down to their competition, they don't just play down. They just go, we're not even going to play. You can beat us by 40. And then the next night or next game come out and not only play hard and competitive, like even had they lost last night, they played hard and competitive and it was a fun game and they had fight. And turned out, I mean, it's one of those things where if you can just fight and stick around to the end, then good things can happen. But what is that inconsistency where they can, such a huge swing? Is that just, do we need to like poke at Ja, like have like fake Twitter accounts that poke at Ja every game to like get him motivated somehow?
I think so. And I also think too that, you know, look, the Grizzlies are not a great team yet. They're a good team. They're a good team and they're clearly on the ascent here, and that's led by Ja. But, you know, on the sort of path to becoming a great team, a team that's, you know, a contender for a top four seed every year in the West, you know, there's going to be some inconsistency just generally, you know, as you just get older and you mature. And, you know, this team is still pretty damn young. So they're not going to win every game in an 82-game season. There's going to be, you know, slumps and swoons, and there's going to be, you know, high marks and everything like that. And I just think that's all part of it. I think that's all part of this Grizzlies team becoming what they ultimately will become, which is hopefully, like we said, you know, a team that can, with a couple of breaks here and there, you know, like if the Grizzlies, like if this was 3 years from now, right, and everything in the West was exactly the way it is now, why couldn't the Grizzlies be in the finals, honestly? I mean, yes, the Warriors are awesome and they're getting back Klay, but, you know, you beat the Warriors last year and this year. So you would definitely feel like, okay, we have a chance. The Grizzlies aren't there yet, right? Like, just as a team construction, they're not there yet. But I'm just saying, like, that's what you hope to be. Within striking distance, whenever there is a situation in the Western Conference where you feel like, okay, you know, the Lakers are a disaster. They're, you know, getting into fights on the court. You know, there's a lot of just, you know, a lot of And you have one, like, team that's sort of separating itself. We don't really trust the Jazz to do much in the postseason. We know the story there. So I think that's just the goal here, and the inconsistencies and the weird losses to bad teams, but the great wins against great teams, that's all part of that process.
I mean, if you say 3 years from now, what does that put Jaren at 25 years old?
Yeah.
And Ja about the same age?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You hope that there's just continued growth to make them, because they're both awesome, and you hope there's continued growth to where that awesomeness is consistent. And by that point, all the teams that are awesome right now are kind of old.
You're in your peak. They're phasing out.
Yeah.
Even Steph and Klay, right?
Yeah.
Like, Steph and Klay probably have a window of 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Now, maybe they can extend that a little bit if they want to move Moody or Kuminga. I don't know what the plan there will be. But, you know, I tell you, the Blazers are about to get blown up.
Yep.
The Lakers are, I mean, a mess. The Clippers, you know, we'll see with Kawhi. Like, I don't know how long that window has. The Mavs with Luka, they don't really scare me, right? Like,
no.
I feel like you can beat the Mavs. I mean, especially if, like, Porzingis is not a great number two option, and so you feel like they're going to make moves around that. So that remains to be seen. But you just feel like there is an opportunity for the Grizzlies here, certainly, as if they continue on this pace, to be a top four seed in the West every year.
Yeah, it's just this current group of superstars that you think that are like the if there are household names, that are household names, they're all, I mean, they're in the scope of life, they're young men, but in the scope of the NBA life, they're getting up there. And in 3 years, they will all either be retired or like past their prime, at which point you have the Grizzlies guys coming straight into their like athletic peak at 25, 26, 27. And so, yeah, I mean, you can kind of see it to where if they can keep it all together and keep good pieces around them, that they can totally be competing in top four seeds, not bottom four seeds of the playoffs. Okay.
Now, and you've got, you know, you've stockpiled some assets here, right, with your draft picks and other things like that, to where, you know, I would not be mad at all if they decided to package those rather than, you know, continue selecting, right?
Right.
You know, because you only have A, so many roster spots, and B, like,
what are you going to do? Just keep drafting 18-year-olds every year? Like, at some point, you have to sort of package those up and, you know, get a real player right now for them.
Sure.
And I suspect they will. I suspect that'll be the next step for them.
Speaking of real players, how about Isaiah Stewart getting after LeBron? If the best player in the league or the king had elbowed you or hit you in the face, do you think you'd go after him, or would you be like, oh man, I would have fought him, but right now it's the king?
I just feel like that dude, like there's something got to be else going on. Like I know he got bloodied, you know. Like I know he caught it, and I will say too, like the replay is not good for LeBron. That's why he got suspended, right? I'm here in New York City. He was supposed to be playing tonight. He's not. And so maybe I'll sneak into Madison Square Garden tonight. I don't know. You know, because that's a huge hit to those Madison Square Garden prices.
That's right.
So I'm kind of excited. But you know, I would like to think I would handle it well, but I don't think I would.
No. Do you think LeBron deserved being suspended?
I kind of thought the ejection was enough. I mean, it looked inadvertent, right? Like, he clearly, you know.
It looked like he tried to hit. It didn't look like he was. I don't think he meant to hit him in the face, but he meant
to
hit him.
He got ejected, though. You know what I mean? Like, if you have to suspend him, you know, so be it. I kind of felt like the punishment of an ejection fit the crime. I mean, had he not been bloodied up, we probably wouldn't even be talking about it.
I'm kind of surprised Stewart only got 2 games, right? I think had he not had blood on his face, he would have gotten more. I think everybody seeing how bloody he was, like, gave him a pass of sorts to be that mad.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I thought there was a video, and I'm sure you've seen it now, of somebody put it to, like, WWF commentary. I watched that 50 times. I could not get enough of that video. It was so great.
Absolutely.
Like, I will say for the NBA, like, it does kind of feel like a renaissance year. I think this has been a really, really good year for the NBA for a variety of reasons. One reason is you don't know who's going to win the title. You have no idea. Like, I don't know who it is. I don't know.
That is so different than the last 15 years, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it, even going into last year, right, like we were surprised that it was the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, they're always in the mix. And it was Lakers or Nets. And then the year before that, we knew the Lakers were probably going to win it. You know, this year, it does feel pretty wide open. I mean, maybe the Warriors are the odds on favor right now, but there's a lot of season left to play. What's going to happen with Kyrie and the Nets? You know, are the Bucks going to repeat? Is anybody else going to threaten out of the West? So you have that going for you. You have this doing away with the awkward motion foul calls that we saw just all throughout the postseason.
Thank goodness.
Those are gone now, you know? And I think the play of the game the quality has, I won't say never been better, but it's been a long time since the NBA has been this watchable on a day-to-day basis. So I think moments like that where, you know, you got guys, I'm not saying everybody's going out there and beat each other's ass, but, you know, that's entertainment. And it's a league that had sort of been branded as soft, probably appropriately. And I just kind of feel like they've bucked back at that trend this year. It's a little bit more physical than it's been in a long time, a lot more physical than it's been in a long time. Refs are letting them play. They're going to do away with this stupid take foul rule, which I also hate. Kills transition opportunities, so you don't even see dunks anymore.
Yep.
So I think the NBA is really doing some good things, and I think it's just a great thing for the league overall, some of the decisions that they've made.
And the rules committee, the NFL should take a lesson from the NBA on the rules committee when you change things that where the NBA are making these two rule changes with the fouls to make the game better, and the NFL on the flip side is adding this taunting rule that is just so overly used and absurd that I don't even know what to do. Talking to John Martin here on the Jason and John Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in for John and his co-host Jason Smith. I want to switch gears to the Memphis Tigers. John, I think, if I remember this correctly, I think I heard you say at one point what you wanted out of the Tigers, what you wanted to see was a shorter rotation and less turnovers. So when they play Virginia Tech, I guess it's tomorrow night at Barclays, I need you to come up. I'm going to give you a redo. I think you need to have a more realistic goal. What would you like to see out of the Tigers?
Well, whatever I said, So, like, what I said I wanted to see, Pitty spit in my face and gave the opposite.
That's true. It's so true.
So I would like to see more turnovers.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
I like
longer
this.
Rotation.
Reverse. Yeah.
So this way I'll get the opposite. Sadly, the same applies. It hasn't changed. I mean, that game, was it last Friday against West Kentucky? That was the hardest game I have had to watch in a long, long time because Memphis is 35 points better than that West Kentucky team. They just are.
Yeah.
They just are. But they won the game by whatever it was, 11-12, because they turned the ball over 26 times. And I don't have, like, I know the coaching staff, they're going to have all that stuff. All right, well, this was forced and this was not. And it felt like 20 of those 26 were just Memphis BSing.
Yeah.
You know, just throwing the ball over the court, you know, careless, lazy, stupid passes. And if I'm Penny, and look, this is just where we are. If you make a stupid turn, your ass is coming out. Like, you're coming out. If you throw an errant, stupid, careless, lazy pass that gets intercepted, you're coming out of the game. That's the only way, clearly, that they're going to improve on that front, because they just have terrible habits. This is habits. This is, you know, and I don't know. I have to believe that this is something that's been addressed in practice time and time again, but for whatever reason, it's not clicking with them. So now I have to get drastic. Now I have to say, I have to pull you. And I don't love that. I don't love that idea, but, you know, it's got to get addressed. It was hard to watch. It was impossible to watch because the talent for Memphis is just so overwhelming. You know, if you're comfortable with that win over West Kentucky, get your head out of your ass. That should have been a 35-point win. It just should have. Memphis was that West Kentucky is not good. Memphis is four times better than they actually won by in that game. And look, when they play a team like Virginia Tech on Wednesday, that's going to cost them. And in a season where your opportunities are so limited in the non-conference. Now, the good thing I will say for Memphis is that Cincinnati, as Brad well knows, got a big win over Illinois.
The hell was that? Sure, I mean, what is going on?
Maybe
Houston, Memphis, maybe it's a three-bid league this year rather than a two-bid league. But you still, to me, can't count on the AAC. So you have to pile these wins up on Wednesday. You win on Wednesday, you get the win on, I think they play again on Friday, I'm not sure. So you have to take advantage of these opportunities because this is a once-in-a-generation roster. It's hard to get old in college basketball the way that Memphis has gotten old, and it's also hard to couple that age with dynamic freshmen like Imani Bates and Jalen Duren, and we've obviously already seen their talent. So to me, you're trying to get a 2 seed. You're trying to get a 3 seed. You're trying to get a 4 seed at worst because you want to maximize your tournament life. And that way you avoid tougher matchups until the Sweet 16, Elite 8. And I don't think there's anybody in the city of Memphis, Tennessee, that would complain about a Sweet 16 appearance. How do you get there? You get there by winning games like you have to do on Wednesday. How do you win games on Wednesday? You take care of the ball. You show discipline. And that's really what it comes down to. So I didn't see that on Friday night against West Kentucky, and I'm hoping that with a quick turnaround against a quality opponent, Virginia Tech, that does start to change.
Do you think that it's going to take them get kind of a bit in the butt by these turnovers and, like, taking a loss that they have no business losing for them to actually, like, take it seriously? Because you can preach all you want to that, like, hey, guys, we can't turn the ball over 26 times and be careless. When they go – well, yeah, I mean, we shot terrible and turned the ball over, and we still won by 12. Do you think it's going to take, like, them just kind of, like, getting beat by somebody before? Or is this one of those things, like, they're just going to—even that won't register because they got beat last year turning the ball over, and it didn't seem to matter either.
I would like to think that you don't have to be a team that averages 20-plus turnovers a game.
I would love that.
You know, I would like—I mean, I just feel like that's something that you can control, you know?
It's also awful to watch.
It's awful. It's impossible. Look, to me, that felt like a loss.
Yeah.
On Friday. Like, I know, again, it was a double-digit win, so that seems crazy to say, but I just think that West Kentucky team is so damn bad, and I think you are so much better than that. And look, yeah, you're going to get caught if that's how you act, if that's how you approach games, you know. This Virginia Tech team – look, they're not a sexy brand, and they're not necessarily somebody that a lot of people had their eye on coming into the year, but if you look at that roster, juniors and seniors, man, that's what they are. And so this is exactly the kind of team that is capable, even though they're going to be less talented than you. I mean, they could, quite frankly, I don't know what the line's going to be, but they could beat you by double digits tomorrow if you don't, you know, if you don't come correct. So I hope they interpreted that West Kentucky team in that game as a loss, and it was embarrassing. I mean, that film, everybody that was involved in film after that game should have been absolutely ashamed.
You would think so.
Absolutely ashamed because of some of the decisions that they made. You know, these are not, for the most part, freshmen, right? Like, if you're a young guy, right, you've only been in college for 3 weeks or, you know, playing college basketball for three, you know, that's one thing. But these guys have all been together. These guys have been in school for 3, 4, in DeAndre Williams' case, 8 years. You know, they should not be playing that way and throwing the ball away like that. So I'm hoping that was, even though it was a double-digit win, I'm hoping that it was close enough and embarrassing enough that come Wednesday, you know, they're going to be locked in. I'll be there for it, so I'll be able to give a full report. But I'm hoping that was a very inexpensive wake-up call.
I certainly hope so. I hope you're right. All right, I got one more for you, John. I'm going to let you get out of here and go back to your Thanksgiving vacation. I saw this headline this morning, and I read a little bit about it, and I don't know if you saw this, but and this is a very sharp left turn. Taysom Hill for the Saints got himself a new contract. And I just want to know if you – I don't know if you saw the details of this, but I'm going to break it down to you like this. If you – let's just say 92.9 ESPN gave you a new contract for $40 million, which I think would be fantastic for you.
It would be great.
It would be great,
absolutely.
Right?
Give you my agent that. A raise.
Get your agent a raise. I would be trying to be your agent if you were going to get a contract like that. And so let's say they gave you that contract for $40 million, but there was a stipulation in that contract that said you can make $55 million more. So from a $40 million contract to a $95 million contract, if the show changed from the Jason and John show to only the John Martin show, you had to get rid of Jason. Don't you think you would be trying to thinking of ways to take Jason out? Isn't this a conflict of interest?
That's interesting because obviously he gets more money if he plays quarterback.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, Taysom Hill, who's the Saints' like kind of utility knife,
tight end,
receiver, does everything.
Back.
Got a new $40 million deal, but in his deal it said your deal could be a $95 million deal if you become the starting quarterback. And so if you're the owner of the Saints, aren't you saying under no circumstances do we make this guy the starting quarterback? But if you're Taysom Hill, aren't you saying Jameis Winston?
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing. It's like unless you have to make him the quarterback. It's kind of a weird contract. I'm assuming that there's some gymnastics going on with it. I'm assuming that they don't, that they don't necessarily plan to. They gave him a shot at the end of last year to be quarterback, and you know, it didn't really go too well. But I think to answer your question, Jason has a family, right? I don't want Jason to.
Oh no!
Not have a place
oh,
to go,
don't do
you
it.
Know? So, you know, that's right.
Don't do it.
It's exactly right.
I will take the $40 million, hey. And I will make do.
And you'll make do. That's
my job.
That is a heck of a moral compass right there. Yeah. Because
I will make do with $40 million. It's not going to be easy. There's going to have to be some sacrifices around the house.
Of course. Man.
But yes, I would sacrifice the $55 million to do a show with my partner.
It's possible if I was in your shoes, my Google search history would have like arsenic and some other poisons in there. You better look out. John, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. I hope you're having a wonderful vacation. And next time I see you at Kroger, I really hope you're wearing that shirt Kyle Kuzma had on last night when he walked into the arena.
You don't have to worry about that. That's not in the collection this winter. But I hope you guys have a great holiday, and thanks as always. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, John.
That was John Martin. He is the co-host of the Jason and John show here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I am J.R. Moore, filling in for the boys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.